All right, so we're going to be starting a new series today called Mind Monsters. And really excited about this series. And we're going to be talking about how we can conquer fear, worry, and guilt, and other negative thoughts that come against us. Does anybody fight any of that stuff? Go ahead and raise that hand, because if you're alive and your heart's beating, you battle with those kinds of issues. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at this. And it's so important that we think correctly. It's so important that our thought life is healthy. And that is because everything we do begins with a thought. Everything you do for good, everything you do for evil starts with a thought. And so the battle for our soul really takes place right here. Because whatever force has success in that arena of our thought life, that is what camp we will go to. We will either behave evil in evil ways, or we will behave like God. And so what we want to do this next few weeks is we want to train our minds on how to think like God. And what do you want? Here's the question I have for you today. What do you want God to do through you? What do you want God to do through you? And some of you have been so beaten down by negative thoughts that you can't even think of anything right now. And that needs to be confronted. And before you do anything for God, you think it. You have to have a vision for it. You have to believe it. And it all begins with a thought. And so we're one thought away from a great decision. We're one thought away from success. And we are also one thought away from our demise. We're also one thought away from destruction and really, really bad habits. And the older we get, here's what happens. The older we get, monsters move from our closet and into our mind. Did anybody growing up, did you have some monsters in your closet when you were a kid? And you tried to go to, I know I had monsters in my closet. Yeah, I had to be careful what I watched as a kid. Like I couldn't watch Unsolved Mysteries or America's Most Wanted, because when I went to bed at night, I was convinced that those guys were in my closet. That's why they couldn't find them. They were in my closet. And I'd be up all hours of the night walking around, and Mom would have to come in with anointing oil, and we bind this devil in Jesus' name. Help this kid go to sleep. You know, all that stuff. Why? Because I was convinced, and you know, we laugh about it now, but when you're 6 and you're 7 and you're convinced that there's something in your closet, it's serious. It's traumatic, right? Well, here's what happens. Those monsters, they never leave. They just leave our closet and they go to our mind. And we have these monsters in our mind that they're not real. It's all a bunch of lies. There's no truth to them. But they can be very real. Why? Because we believe them. And so we have to fill our minds with the right things. We have to fill our mind with good things. And Satan wants to disrupt your mind so that he can steal your joy and your peace. When you can't think right, you have no joy and you have no peace. Even when things do go right, when you should be joyful, when you should be happy, you can't. Why? Because you're too busy worrying about what's going to go wrong. And he wants to contaminate your relationships. Our thinking can contaminate our relationships. When we are suspicious of other people, or we're harboring resentment and all kinds of bitterness. And they can take away, negative thoughts take away our contentment in life, that we can never be happy because these negative thoughts that are in our mind just won't allow us to be happy. I want to tell you, that's not the will of God for your life. That is not the life that God wants you to have. And worry and guilt and fear, they are not signs of spiritual maturity. I'm going to say that again. Worry, guilt, fear, anxiety, all of these things are not a sign of spiritual maturity. And the closer you get to God, the more these mind monsters should disappear from your life. Would anybody like that? If you would like that, clap your hands and say, yes, Lord. And so the Apostle Paul, he kind of gives us some guidelines for how we should think. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are pure, I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, think on these things. And then notice what he says next. He says, these things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. In other words, he says, if you think on these things, peace will follow you. And if you follow the way I taught you how to think, then you're going to have peace. And peace isn't the absence of problems. You can have peace in the middle of a storm. You can be going through hell and still have heaven on your side. Right. Come on, somebody. Amen. You can still feel Jesus in the middle of your storm. And I like the way that the message kind of sums us up. And it says, summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, and gracious. The best, not the worst. The beautiful, not the ugly. Things to praise, not things to curse. In other words, think of positive things. Think of things that come from God. Think of things that speak of God and His character. That doesn't mean that we deny the reality of negative things around us. It just means that we're not going to keep our mind on it. We're not going to obsess about it. We're not going to give it the honor of stealing our joy and stealing our passion for life. And so we must fill our minds with good things. And here's what we have to realize, that thoughts are like trains. Have you ever heard the expression, a train of thought? Well, trains have a destination. If you've ever been to like to London or New York subway, you know what train to get on based on its termination point, where it's going to stop. Every train has a stopping point. And whatever train you get on, it's going to take you there. And so if you get on the negative thought train, it's going to take you into a negative life. If you get on the positive thought train, it's going to take you to a positive life. If you get on a godly thought train, it's going to take you to a godly life. If you get on an evil thought train, it's going to take you to an evil life. If you get a lustful thought train, it's going to take you to a lustful life. Are you getting the picture? And so it's very important that we board the right thought train. And whenever negative thoughts, whenever ungodly thoughts start to flood our mind, we need to say, no, thank you. I'm getting off this train. I'm getting on God's train. I'm getting on the godly thought train. I'm going to think of things that are true. I'm going to think of things that are pure. I'm going to think of virtuous things. And that's how we defeat the mind monsters in our mind. And the wrong thought train will do this. It will make you worry. It'll make you feel guilty. It'll make you insecure. It'll make you just sad. You can't have any joy in life. Even when you experience good things, you're sad because, well, it probably won't last. Or there's suspicion of other people, that you can't trust or love other people because you're on the negative thought train. And because of past experiences, everybody that comes in your life, you are suspicious of. And you just wonder, when are they going to let me down? Those are all part of Satan's thought train. And most importantly, the negative thought train is going to make you doubt God's word. Well, he didn't really mean it. Well, he meant it for everyone else but me. Well, maybe that's just not true. Maybe God really, his word isn't reliable. And it'll also make us have false assumptions about ourselves, that we believe the worst about us. Those things all come with a negative thought train. And so most of you today, when I read that scripture with the Apostle Paul in Philippians, when he says, think on these things and peace will follow you, I imagine some of us said this, well, yeah, that was easy for Paul to say. He doesn't know what I'm going through in 2017. Well, let me just inform you of something. You know where Paul was when he wrote those words? Prison. Is anybody here today in prison? Raise your hand. We were like, I don't see anybody today in orange jumpsuits. Do you? We're all here today. And if Paul can write that in prison, if he can say, hey, you need to train your mind to think on good things. You need to train your mind to think positively. If he can write that in a prison, I think every one of us today that we can say we can find something good to think about. Can somebody praise God right now? Does anybody have something good in your life going on right now? And so Philippians is a prison epistle, and he wrote this from prison. And the misconception is this, all right? This is very important. Here's one of the biggest misconceptions that we get, is that if we're in the will of God, we will never, ever have to battle for our mind. That if I just get to the spiritual place with God, or if I find this thing that God wants me to do, I'll never have to fight negative thoughts. I'll never have to battle, you know, for my peace. Matter of fact, the more you get in the will of God, the more you're going to have to battle for your mind. You know why? Because Satan knows what you're capable of. He knows the damage you can do to his kingdom and the kingdom of darkness if you ever get it together right here. And so whenever you step out to do something for God, don't be surprised if he tries to flood you with negative thoughts and try to get you on the negative thought train. And try to get you to doubt about who you are, and try to get you to doubt about God's word. But I think I'm talking to some people today that we believe that we have been saved by grace, that we are people set apart with a future, with a destiny, and there's nothing that can stop the church of the living God. There's nothing that can stop somebody with the blood of Jesus over their life. How many has been sanctified? How many has been saved? And how many knows you have a great future and that God has something great for you? I wonder if I can get some people to stand on your feet if you believe that. How many's going to get on the thought train that God has? God has greater things for me. God has greater things for my family. Look at your neighbor and say, you haven't seen anything yet. The best is yet to come. Amen. Give him a high five. Tell him, we're going to win this. We're going to win this. We're going to have greater victories. How many believe that? Let's give God a hand clap of praise one more time. If you believe that, you got to believe who you are in Christ. I'm a child of God. Amen. I have been given the keys to heaven. Why? Because I've been saved by grace. Amen. That wasn't in the notes. I just felt like preaching for a second. And so you can be in harmony with God, who is the God of peace, when everything around you is in chaos. And you must focus on the reality of God and not the reality that's going on around you. Because if you focus on what's going on around you, you're going to be depressed all the time. You're going to be down all the time. But if you can get your mind on the reality of what God says, And if Satan, if he can get into our thoughts, he can do this. If he gets in our thoughts, he can manipulate our actions and our behaviors. And the only power, very important, listen to this, the only power that he has, and the only power that a lie has, is when someone believes it. A lie is a lie. And by definition, it's not true. But when we believe it, it can have the same effect as truth, because it can manipulate us and it can bind us and it can keep us from doing what God called us to do. For instance, if someone would come up to me today and claim to be some type of car expert, and they would say, Pastor Jeremy, your car no longer works. Your car isn't even capable of getting out of this parking lot. And if they could just keep telling me all the things that's wrong with it. I used to know somebody that every time they got in my car, like they would like try to listen for things wrong. And like as we would go like for 20 miles, and they would have like five things wrong with my car. And they would have me so mad and negative, and like I just wanted to pull over and just leave it. Here, take the keys. And that's what the enemy does. And so someone could convince me that my car is a piece of junk, that it couldn't even get me home today. And if I listen to that long enough, why even bother turning the ignition? Just leave it here. And that's what Satan wants you to do. He wants to just fill your mind with junk and a bunch of stuff that's not true. And here's the thing, it's not true, and it never can be true. But if you believe it, it might as well be true. Does that make sense? In other words, my car can be fine, but if I don't use it, and I've been told it doesn't work and I'm not going to use it, that lie has the power of truth in my life. And I want you to see what Jesus said about Satan in John chapter 8. He says, you belong to your father, the devil, and he's talking to some unbelievers, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding the truth, though there is no truth in him. Satan is not capable of telling the truth. That's one of the most important things you need to learn. And when he lies, he speaks his native language. In other words, it just comes natural to him. It just, have you ever met somebody, they don't even have to try to lie. It just, it's like their natural filter is just to lie, just to not tell the truth. For he is a liar, and he is the father of lies. Satan is a chatterbox of lies. And so he's going to try to twist everything that God has said, and he's going to try to get you to believe horrible things about other people. He's going to try to get you to not believe God, and he's going to try to get you to doubt yourself. And so you have to make a choice. Am I going to get on that thought train, or am I going to get on God's thought train? And you can't have a positive life with a negative mind. You cannot have a positive life with a negative mind. And do you know people that, I know people that even, like, they could win $1 million. And I know what their response would be. Well, I'm still going to have to pay taxes on it. By the time you pay taxes, it'll only be about $700,000. And then you get me a new car, I still got to buy gas. And I bought if I buy a new house with that $700,000, I got to pay insurance and a bigger yard. And you know people like that? Just for everything that God gives them, they can think of, well, this is what could go wrong. Yeah, but. And that's how Satan wants to rob you of your joy. That's why Satan wants to try to get you so negative that even when God blesses you, you can't enjoy it. And so it's important that we defeat these mind monsters. And here's the reason why. There are people depending upon us to help them. And the only way that Satan can keep us from changing our communities, changing our families, changing those around us for the better is if he makes us negative. If he makes us feel like it's hopeless. If he makes us feel like there's no use of even trying. And here's what you have to do. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, he says what? You have to not be conformed to this world. Don't think like the world, but be transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. Every day you got to renew your mind. You got to remember what God said. You have to remember what's true. You have to remember that the negative things that Satan is trying to tell you, it's not true. It's all a bunch of lies. And every day you have to get in the Word of God, and you have to get some promises over your life, and you have to believe what God has said. Has anyone ever found that what God has said is always true? God cannot lie. God is not a man who is not able to meet his promises. So where I want to take you today is Judges chapter 6. And we find a story of a man named Gideon. And at this time in Israel's history, they had kind of walked away from God. They would walk away from God. God would bring an enemy into their life. They would repent and come back to God. Then they would get complacent and they would walk away from God again. In other words, a lot like us sometimes. And so here's what was going on. God had allowed the Midianites to basically have control over them. And it wasn't like a slavery where they were in chains, but here's what was happening, is that they would grow their crops. The Israelites would grow their crops, and they would have good crops. And then the Midianites would come in, and they would steal those crops. As if you've ever been in a season like that, even when good things were happening, it's like Satan would come in and immediately steal it, immediately take it away. And if that happens enough, you know what happens? We start to get a mind monster. We start to think, well, what's the use? What's the use of even growing these crops if the enemy's just going to come and take them away? And I want to tell you, sometimes I felt like that in ministry. What's the use of discipling people? What's the use of loving people if odds are within a year they're just going to leave church anyway? Why put the effort? And that's a negative attitude that Satan wants to fill your mind with. Why should I even pray anymore? Why should I even fight anymore? If the enemy's just going to come and take away everything I have, even when good things happen, it's just a big letdown. I want to tell you, that's a mind monster that needs to be defeated today in the name of Jesus. And that's, amen. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Yeah, and I want to say this. If Celebrate Recovery only helps one person, it's worth it. If 9 out of 10 go back, if it's worth it for the one lost sheep. That's why we got to stay positive. That's why we got to stay focused on what's really important. If this service today is just about one person, I want to tell you, this sermon's worth it. Amen. Every person in this room is worth it. And so this is where Gideon is at. He's living in this culture, and this angel comes to him, and here's what Gideon's doing. He's hiding his crops, looking for a place to store them so the Midianites won't steal them. In other words, you know what we see in Gideon's life? The first mind monster he has is one of, he's defensive, he's insecure, and he's doubtful. Well, we better hide this because the enemy's probably going to come and steal it. We better bury this because the enemy will probably take it by tomorrow. And I want to tell you, Satan wants you to bury the good things that God's given you. God wants to use you. God wants to take the lid off the ministry in your life and how you can touch other people. But he can't do it if you're just going to bury stuff. And so the angel of the Lord, it says in Judges 6 verse 12, appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." And Gideon said to him, "Please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all of his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian." And the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Did not I send you?" All right, I want you to see what happens here. And I want you to see the mind monster that Gideon has. An angel comes to him and says, "Gideon, you mighty man of valor." And Gideon's like, I think you have the wrong Gideon. And by the way, where's God? If God is so great, why has all this bad stuff happened to us? Think about that. Now, I want to give myself the benefit of the doubt here, but I would like to think that if an angel approached me, I would say something positive. I would at least respond in a positive way. But Gideon, he has such a mind monster right now. This angel calls him a mighty man of valor. In other words, you're an important person. And Gideon's response is, "Well, where's God at?" In other words, he's so defeated in his mind that God sends him a miracle. He gives him an angel. And even then, he doesn't know how to respond to it. And that's where Satan wants to get you, is to get you such in a negative position that when God gives you miracles, you don't know how to respond. And you can't even be positive then. And so the angel responds to Gideon with a command. He doesn't answer Gideon's question of where is God at. And often when God answers your question in the form of a statement, it isn't because he doesn't know the answer to the question. He wants you to look back on what he's already said. He wants you to think about what he's already said. In other words, if God calls you a mighty man of valor, that's what you are. If God calls you a mighty woman in the kingdom of God, that's what you are. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what the enemy's trying to tell you. And then look at what Gideon says in verse 15. He continues, he says, "Pardon me, my Lord, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my family." Anybody hear the self-pity?
"I'm the youngest in my family, and we don't even live in Herrick. We live out in the country. We're nobodies. Nobody knows who we are."
That's what he's saying. He's saying, "My family's a bunch of nobodies, and I'm the youngest one in the family." Real pitiful. Everybody, let's give Gideon some pity. Right? Everybody say, "Aw." And that's sad. And here's what, that's what Satan, that's the attitude he wants you to get.
"Nobody knows what I'm going through. Well, I would like to do that for God, but I'm the youngest in my family.
and I come from a horrible background, and nobody at church even likes me anyway. That's what Satan, the negative thoughts that he wants to fill your life with. And then look at what the Lord said, I will be with you. In other words, pardon, I know I'm not supposed to say this. You know what the Lord's really wanting to say here? Shut up. I'm with you. Hey, I'm appearing before you right now. How many people have got to see an angel? He's appearing before him. He says, I'm going to be with you. Stop the pity party. And I'm here to tell you today, if you're in the middle of a pity party, stop it. Stop it. Everybody say, stop it. God is with you. God knows where you're at. God hasn't forgotten about you. Somebody say amen today. Somebody believe it. How many knows that God knows where you're at? He says, I will be with you, and you're going to strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive. In other words, you're going to completely annihilate them. God has a great purpose for you, Gideon. And so Gideon, he has mind monsters that they're so strong in his mind that they compel him to argue with God. And God, he wants to speak to you, but it's hard to believe him sometimes because you've been so damaged by things that have gone on in your past and have come with you, the baggage that you've taken with you. And so he wants you to do two things. And these two things I see in Gideon. He doubted God. If God's good, why am I going through this? Why are we going through this? And number two, he wants you to doubt yourself. He wants you to doubt who you are in Christ. And those are the mind monsters that Gideon had. So where do mind monsters come from? Number one, they come from when we allow negative perceptions of ourselves to define us. Negative perceptions of ourselves. And negative perceptions of ourselves, they usually come from something that happened in our childhood. Something that somebody told us in our childhood. Something that happened, maybe that left an imprint. Somebody told us that you'll never grow up to be anything, or you always do this wrong, or you're just a terrible kid. And we believe the lie, and we take it with us, and we have a negative perception of ourselves, and we're defined by it. And we are all predisposed to certain things in our life. I know that. I know some people are predisposed to depression. Some people are a little more melancholy than other people. But that cannot be an excuse to carry your whole life. You are going to have to believe what God said about you. And you cannot allow a negative imprint that was put on you by a father or a mother or some other relative or a friend or a bad experience to carry you through your whole adulthood. At some point, you're going to have to realize that I am a child of God. What God says about me is most important than what anybody else says about me. Somebody praise God for that. So number one, we allow negative perceptions of ourselves to define us. Number two, we allow the past to program us. We allow the past to program us. And we believe because something happened in the past, it's going to happen again. And it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. The lie, even though it's still a lie, it becomes truth. Why? Because we believe it here. And this could be things like past mistakes. I'm never going to do or try this again because I tried it once and I was a failure. Maybe it's not meeting other people's expectations. Somebody expected us to be something that we're not. Somebody expected us to be in some profession that we never wanted to be a part of. And so we've let them down. And so we feel like we let everybody down. We feel like we're never going to reach our potential. Why? Because somebody put this unhealthy expectation on who we are. Maybe it's a bad personal decision. Maybe you made a terrible personal decision that maybe it resulted in you being incarcerated. Maybe it resulted in your marriage failing. Maybe it resulted in hurting somebody deeply and it just severed the friendship. And so now we're just going to be very careful about how we enter relationships, and we're never going to give our heart to anybody. Why? Because we've allowed the past to program us. And we can't even think of it being any other way. Why? Because there's this mind monster called the past that's hanging over us. The third thing that produces mind monsters is we let circumstances dictate our thoughts. We let what's going on around us dictate our thoughts. And we can't think outside of that little box of chaos that we're inside of. We have to think about what God can do. We have to think about the scenario that God can create. We can't live in our present circumstance. We have to think outside of that. Like the Apostle Paul in prison, we have to think about things that are good. We have to think about what would it look like if God fixed this problem, if God gave me a miracle. And that's where some of you are today, that you can't even think of what a miracle would look like because you've been so beaten down, you've been so discouraged, and just the na-na-na-na-na of Satan, the chatterbox of lies that you've believed for so long has got you so discouraged that you don't know what a miracle would look like. You can't even think of what an answered prayer would look like. What I want to tell you, that's not the way God wants you to live. God has a miracle. You have to think outside your current circumstances. So, how do we defeat these mind monsters? First of all, does anybody here want to defeat some mind monsters? Is anybody here tired of putting up with the mind monsters? Yeah. You have to reach a point where you say enough's enough. Nothing I say today is going to be some magic cure. You have to want it. You have to decide, I'm tired of thinking negatively. I'm tired of being beaten down. So the first thing that we have to do is that we have to focus on how God sees us. Gideon was a scaredy cat filled with pity. The youngest in his family, probably not an impressive guy by what he says. And God appears before him through an angel and says, Gideon, you mighty man of valor. Now, I want to ask you a question. Was that a true statement? Yes, God cannot lie. Second question, did Gideon believe it? No. Why? Because a mind monster had lied to him for so long. He saw himself as weak. He saw himself as a nobody. I want to tell you, whoever you are here today, you are a mighty man or a mighty woman of valor. Amen. There is a warrior inside of you that God is wanting to unleash. And you want to know who is your biggest enemy? You. Because there's this warrior inside of you that God has great things for.
Yes, he does. Amen.
But every time you step out, Satan starts the chatterbox and said, I wouldn't do that. What if you fail? You know who you are. You remember what you used to do? I want to tell you that God sees a warrior today. God sees a mighty person of God. God sees a son or daughter that he wants the world to see his image in. And so there's a champion inside of you. You just got to release it. You got to believe it. You have to believe, I am a mighty person. And I want to tell you that it's not so much about you. And as I said a few weeks ago, that it's not prideful to say, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. It's humility that, you know what, on my own, I am a nobody. On my own, I can't do anything. But because I am a new person in Jesus Christ, and because he died for me, and because he has given me his spirit, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I am the head, not the tail. I have a great future. I am powerful in Jesus Christ. You have to believe that. So number two, we have to believe that God is with us and for us, despite what has happened in the past. God is with us and God is for us despite what has happened in the past. And the first thing that the angel told Gideon is that you're a mighty man, a warrior. And the second thing he told him is, I'm with you. I'm with you. The reason we can do what God's called us to do is because we believe that God is with us. Does anybody believe that God is with this church? Does anybody believe that God is with your family? And I want you to see this verse, Isaiah chapter 43. And somebody needs to believe this today. And the word of the Lord says, forget the former things. There's some people here today, you need to forget the former things. And you need to stop letting the past program your future. God has a new future for you. The mistakes that you committed in your past, you're not going to commit in your future. The things that you used to do in your past and the mindsets that kept you back, you're not going to have in your future. God has great things for you in your future, and I believe that. God has greater things for this church. God has greater things for my family. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. That's a mind monster, isn't it? There's some of you here that you're convinced X number of years ago, you missed it. There was an opportunity. There was a situation. You dropped the ball, and there's no hope of recovery. I want to tell you, do not dwell. You need to kick that mind monster out. Say, I might have missed it 10 years ago, but this isn't 10 years ago. Today's a new day. We sang about it this morning. The mercies of God are new every morning. And he says, see or watch, like James Brown. James Brown, chapter 43, verse 19. I'm trying to help you to remember. He says, see, I am doing a new thing. Now, here's where a lot of you just lost it. You don't believe that. You believe that you're stuck. Things are going to keep on going the way they're going. Life is just this vicious circle of same old, same old. First step is, yet you have to believe that God's doing a new thing. And I want to be a part of it. I want to let him do a new thing in my life. And now it springs up. And then he asks this question. Do you not perceive it? Because here's the thing. God can be wanting to do a new thing in your life. But if that mind monster keeps you from seeing and perceiving it, it's as if the lie is truth. And so you have to perceive what God is wanting to do right now. He says, I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. God wants to do a new thing in your life. He wants to break out of the old ways. He wants you to break out of the old ways of thinking. And he wants to give you new experiences. He wants to give you greater than what you've ever had before. And you can't drive forward if you're obsessed with staring in the rearview mirror.
You're right. Amen.
You cannot go where God wants you to go if you're going to obsess about former things. The old life, the old people in that life, the old habits in that life. You've got to look straight ahead. And you've got to concentrate on what God has for you. And so here, I'm going to fast forward in the Gideon story a little bit. And that Gideon responded finally. He finally believed what God had to say. And he raised up an army to take on the Midianites. And here's what happened. The Midianites, they were camped below Gideon and his men. And he only had 300 men. And it says that the Midianites were numbered as the sand of the sea. They were just filled in this valley. And Gideon is wondering, how do I do this? How in the world is God going to do this? And it says this, during that night, the Lord said to Gideon, get up, go down against the camp, because I am going to give it in your hands. If you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Pariah and listen to what they are saying. Everybody say, listen to what they are saying. And afterward, you will be encouraged to attack the camp. So he and Purah, his servant, went down to the outpost of the camp. The Midianites, the Amalekites, and all the other eastern peoples had settled in the valley thick as locusts. Their camels could no more be counted than the sand on the seashore. Gideon arrived just as a man was telling a friend in his dream. I had a dream. A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midian camp. It struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed. His friend responded, this can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hands. Now, why did I just read this? Gideon was discouraged. He didn't know how he was going to do this. And notice what God told him to do. He said, I want you to go into the enemy's camp, and I want you to hear what they're saying about you. You see, not only do you need to know what God says about you, you need to know what the enemy thinks about you. And I want to tell you, you know what the enemy thinks about you? He knows that what God said over you, that you are a mighty woman, a mighty man of valor, is true. And so he's going to try to discourage you, and he's going to try to do everything he can to keep you from believing. Why? Because he knows that the fight is fixed. He knows that the battle is already won if you just believe God and you take on the enemy. That's why he is going to try to discourage you. How many knows that hell is talking about this church today? How many knows that hell is worried about what we're doing today? Why? Because we matter to God. We're powerful in Jesus Christ. We're a powerful church. We're changing things. We're changing the atmosphere. We're changing our communities. I wish somebody believed that today. I wish somebody had the confidence of the Holy Spirit to say, hell is talking about me today. Hell is worried about me today. Hell's going to do their best to try to get me distracted. Why? Because if I do what God's called me to do, families are going to be changed. Schools are going to be changed. Addicts are going to be set free. Oh, come on, somebody. Does somebody believe that today? How many wants to be the type of person that hell gossips about? How many wants to be the type of person that hell talks about you because they're worried about who you might become? I want to talk to some of you CR people, as we call you. If you're fighting hell and you're fighting negative thoughts, that's because Satan knows the warrior who you are. And he knows that if you make it through this, you're going to bring five friends with you. And they're going to get baptized. They're going to get saved. They're going to get set free. Then they're going to go win five more friends. And then before you know it, we're going to have a church full of trophies from hell. Why? Because we are warriors. We are more than conquerors through Christ today. Amen. Somebody stand if you believe that right now. How many wants hell to be worried about who you are? How many wants Satan to have anxiety about what's going to happen? Or you can sit down. I'm going to preach a little bit more today. You know what Satan tried to do with Jesus? He tried to kill him before he could get out of Bethlehem. Why? Because he knew if that baby grew up, it was going to defeat him forever. And some of you who are new, you just recently been baptized and you're going through temptation. You're going through negative thoughts. You're going through all of these trials and temptations. I want to tell you, that shouldn't surprise you, because Satan sees what's going to happen when you grow up, when you get mature in Christ, and when you can see the lies for what they are, and you can go and you can reach and you can bring other people out of the fire. And I want to tell you, don't you give up. Don't you dare go back to that old lifestyle. This is the place you belong. This is where God has set you to become more like him. And you just hang in there. Why? Because you're going to be powerful for God's kingdom. You're a mighty, mighty woman and man of valor. And don't you ever let the devil lie to you like that. I'm going to go off script here. Years ago, Rachel was being intimidated by, I hope she doesn't mind me telling this, by a schoolyard bully. And this guy was just talking trash every day, and she was crying before every day she went to school. Well, one day, and I hope Bishop doesn't mind me telling the story, he got in the Crown Vic. Anybody remember that Crown Vic, the Ford Crown Vic, about the size of the Titanic? And he pulled up around the block, which, of course, it took up the whole block. And he saw this kid, and he yelled through the fence, said, "Hey, you, come here. That's my daughter. Don't you ever talk to her again." And this kid kind of took his ball and ran away. Well, I want to tell you that you have a dad that circles the schoolyard. And anybody that picks on you, anybody that tries to discourage you and tries to get you to forget who you are, you just remind them, I have a dad that circles the schoolyard, and I am a mighty person of worth. I am a mighty man and woman of valor that God has great things for. And don't you dare try to lie to me. Don't you dare try to get me to believe that I'm anything less than that. You are a holy, a sanctified vessel for God today. I wish some people would believe that. I just got mad preaching that. Because I hate to see people put down. I hate to see people believe lies that aren't true. We are some of the most important people on this planet. Why? Because we have the name of Jesus. We are sons and daughters of the King. We have a great future. We're marked. We're set apart. We're holy vessels. We're called for a purpose. And don't waste it on some earthly lie. Like you need somebody else to reach your fulfillment. That you can't be happy unless you have some. If all you have is Jesus, you can be happy all by yourself. And by the way, you're not by yourself. You have a church full of people here. All right, back to Gideon. So what do we have to do? Point number three. We have to change the atmosphere of our circumstances. We have to change the atmosphere of our circumstances. Just like Paul and Silas in that prison. The circumstances, the reality. We can't deny that. But you know what they did? They changed the atmosphere. Paul said, hey, Silas, let's start singing. Let's just see what God will do. And what you have to do, and what Paul did and Silas did, and what they said, we're not going to get on the self-pity, negative thought train. We're going to get on God's thought train. And we're going to start singing praise. We're going to start thinking good things. And we're just going to see what happens. Hebrews 11:1 says what? The faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. In other words, my faith is the evidence, not the things going around me. Hell can be going around me, but if I got hope inside of here, that's all the evidence I need. It's going to be okay. God's got his hands on me. And then in 2 Corinthians, this is so powerful. When I was reading this week, I kind of had this epiphany, I guess you could say, of this scripture, and I read it in a whole new way. 2 Corinthians, Paul, it's like Philippians. He's going through a rough time. He's been shipwrecked, he's been put in prison, he's been beaten, people have disappointed him. Just everything that could go wrong has gone wrong, and you can kind of sense that deep inside he's asking God, I've been obedient, I've done everything you've asked me to do, but it feels like everything's falling apart. And he writes this verse, and I love this verse, and you need to write this verse down and just save it. 2 Corinthians 10:4, he says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And this is what he says. Bringing every thought into captivity unto the obedience of Christ. In other words, when we get down that wrong negative thought train, say, I'm getting off right here. I'm not going to ride the devil's thought train. I'm not going to let him and his chatterbox lie to me anymore. We have to take every thought captive into the obedience of Christ. And we have to know that the word of God, we have to know what it says so that we can decipher between what God is saying and what the enemy is saying. And if it's a lie, it never comes from God. If it's negative, it never comes from God. If it brings death, it never comes from God. But if it brings life, you know it's from God. If it speaks of righteousness, you know it comes from God. And Gideon, he had a stronghold in his mind. And Paul says that a large part of our spiritual warfare, you know where it takes place? It takes place right here. We have to fight for our minds. And so here's what we have to do. We have to replace negative thoughts with positive ones. Every time that a negative thought comes into our mind, we have to find a positive thought to replace it with. And then ride that thought train. And again, in 2 Corinthians, remember I told you, Paul's going through probably the worst time in his ministry. And he says this. He says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Then he says this, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of Jesus may be manifested also in our body. Now, I want to give you the way the message puts this, and I think they do a really good job of it. And he says this, we've been surrounded and battered by troubles. That's the reality. Then he says, but we're not demoralized. See what he's doing? There's a negative thought, then he's going to finish it with a positive thought. In other words, Satan's brought everything he can throw at me, but I'm not demoralized. And he says, we're not sure what to do. Anybody else ever been there? You have no idea what to do. Guess what? You're in good company. The Apostle Paul thought the same thing. And then he says this, negative thought, but we know that God knows what to do. Positive thought. We've been spiritually terrorized. Has anybody in here ever been spiritually attacked? Where Satan brought everything he could at you? That's the negative thought, the positive thought. But God hasn't left our side. We've been thrown down. Negative thought, but positive thought. But we haven't broken. In other words, Satan's brought his everything he can throw at me, but I'm still here. I'm going to tell you, if Satan's attacked you with everything he has and you're still here, you have something to be positive about. You have something to believe today. What they did to Jesus, they do to us. Trial and torture, mockery, murder. What Jesus did among them, okay, all that was negative. Then he's going to go back to the positive. What Jesus did among them, he does in us. He lives. Our lives are constant risk for Jesus' sake, negative. But here's the positive, which makes Jesus' life all the more evident in us. While we are going through the worst, you're getting in on the best. And here's what I want to tell you today. You have to find, for every negative thought, a but. Satan's attacked my finances, but I still have food on the table. Satan's tried to destroy me in my past with sin, but I'm saved and sanctified through the power of Jesus Christ. Satan's tried to destroy me with everything he has, but I'm still here. It feels like everything's against us, but God is with me. Does anyone believe that today, that God's with you? So we're going to finish the Gideon story here. So Gideon receives a word. He hears what the enemy has to say about him. And once he heard what the enemy had to say about him, he grew confident in God. And he got a little bit confident, and he went and he attacked. I want to tell you, once you get a real perception of what God has to say about you and what the enemy really thinks about you, it'll change your whole way of living. There's a story that Roger Clemens was in an all-star game. And he played in the American League, and so he was never able to bat. But in this all-star game, he got to bat. And he was facing Dwight Gooden, who had one of the best fastballs at that time. And he threw a fastball close to 100 miles an hour, and it just went right by him. He didn't even see it. And so he turned around to the catcher. It was a man named Gary Carter. And he said, hey, is my fastball that good? And Gary Carter looked at him and said, it's better. And it changed his whole perception of how he viewed himself. And he said that that was a major moment in his career, because he went to the mound with confidence, knowing that if he really wanted to, he could blow anybody away. And I want to tell you, when you really discover who you are in Christ and what the enemy is trying to do to you because of what they know is true about you, it will change the way you live. And so Gideon, he gets confident. And it says, Gideon and the 100 with him reached the edge of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just as after they had changed the guard. And here's what they did. They changed the atmosphere from one of fear to one of faith. And they blew their trumpets, and then they broke jars in their hands. The three companies blew the trumpets, and they smashed the jars, grasping the torches in their left hands and holding their right hands. The trumpets they were to blow, they shouted, a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. While each man held his position around the camp, and all the Midianites ran crying as they fled. When the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their swords. Here's what they did. On one hand, they had a trumpet. On the other hand, they had these lanterns that were covered by jars. And they smashed those jars and raised the lanterns to let the light show of where they were. And then with the other hand, they blew a trumpet. And then after they blew the trumpet, they raised out a shout to God. And they changed the atmosphere of the circumstance. And when they did that, it confused the enemy, and the enemy turned on themselves and destroyed themselves. And here's what you have to do. You have to shine the light of the truth of what God has said in His Word. And in His Word, He has promised that He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Oh, come on, somebody. He believes you're a mighty warrior, and so you shine the light. Whenever darkness and dark thoughts come into your life, you got to shine the light of God's Word. And then with the other hand, they sounded the trumpet. They praised God, and they lifted up the shout of praise, just like Paul and Silas in prison. They begin to praise God in the midst of the darkness, and it confuses the enemy, and the enemy expects you to ride the negative thought train. The enemy expects you to give up. The enemy expects you to not to fight back. But when you begin to fight back through the Word of God and the Word of your testimony, when you begin to shine the light of the Word of God about what the truth is, and when you begin to praise Him and you begin to speak positively in the middle of your horrible situation, it confuses the enemy, and God starts to work on your behalf, and God gives us mighty victories. Why? Because we are powerful. We have a mighty future. We are a people who are a force to be reckoned with because God is with us. If you believe that, can you stand on your feet right now and clap your hands and praise God right now? Can we do that? Can somebody start to confuse the enemy with your praise? Somebody speak about the greatness of God. Yes, the battle's fierce, but God is with me. I'm perplexed. I'm not sure what to do, but I know God's with me. I'm not sure what God is going to do to fix this situation, but the positive statement is He's done it before. He's going to do it again. Anybody believe that? Thank you, Jesus. I wonder if we can close our eyes right now over this place. I wonder if there's anybody here today that you raise your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm fighting a mind monster. Raise your hand right now. Thank you. Everybody, eyes closed, and pray with me. In Jesus' name, we pray against the mind monsters of fear. We pray against past experiences that have tried to program us. And Lord, we pray that You would set these people free in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray, God, help us, Lord, to think like You. Help us, Lord, to believe, God, what Your Word says. Lord, help us to believe the report of the world of the Lord. Lord, help us to believe, God, Lord, that we have a great future, God, and that we are mighty people of God in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. We thank You, Lord. Let's clap our hands right now. Now, here's what we're going to do. If you raised your hand, I would just encourage you to come up front for prayer today. And we don't need to get super personal. We don't need to know all the reasons why. We just need to pray for one another. And Bishop, I wonder if you just stand right up here. And if you are fighting a mind monster, Bishop's going to pray for you. You think he hasn't gone through discouragement? You think he hasn't had mind monsters try to leap inside of him? Why? Because if Satan attacks him, he can affect hundreds of people. And so today, if you're fighting a mind monster, just ask Bishop to pray for you. Ask somebody to pray for you. We're going to come against it in the name of Jesus. If you're here today and you just want to draw closer to God, if you just need to get deeper in your relationship with God, just come forward today. If you have been thinking about baptism, come see me. But you have to believe that you are a mighty person of worth today. Someone believe that. Everybody in this building, raise your hands right now and say, I am a mighty warrior of God. I'm a mighty woman of God. I'm a mighty man of God. In Jesus' name, we're going to sing this song. And I want us just to reach after God right now. If you need prayer, come up front here. But everyone in this building, let's reach after God. In Jesus' name.